at this sacred time of our Lord's death, join me, Mary Fagan, as I journey with Sister Karen Kent around the Stations of the Cross in St. John's Church in Tralee. Music from Fum Lee, Kinu Nidri Wira.
When we come to the first station, we see Jesus being condemned to death. He has been sold by Judas for 30 pieces of silver, and he's been taken from the Garden of Gethsemane and brought before the authorities, and the people are outside shouting for him to be crucified. There's a debate going on inside between the authorities. Has he really done anything? Who's asking for him? But they decide to go ahead anyway and prepare him for crucifixion.
It would have been a scary moment.
Absolutely. Do you know? And yet, for Jesus, he knows, he's been trying to prepare the people for this. We've been listening to these readings over these Sundays of Lent, where he's been pointing towards the cross, pointing towards crucifixion. And yet still some people don't understand, because he keeps talking about the temple of his body, and in 3 days he'll raise it up again. Resurrection is not something they're familiar with. It doesn't happen. Here's this person talking about dying and rising, and all they see is the human Jesus. So they're in this moment now, and there's all these crowds who only on Palm Sunday have walked in hailing him as a king, a great person. Those same people call for him to be crucified.
The change is so fast.
It is. It's so stark. To go from glory to destruction in just a few days.
People are loved one minute and then despised.
Absolutely. And people in relationships will be very, very much affected by what they hear with Jesus. Do you know that it can happen to any of us at any moment? That we can be loved everything to another person today, and tomorrow something changes and we don't know why. And here's Jesus standing alone. I mean, we have seen over these hours between the Last Supper happening in the upper room and the authorities taking him out to be prepared for crucifixion, Peter, who has given everything to Jesus and Jesus has given everything to him, says, "I don't know this man." Just denies him.
Total betrayal.
Absolute. You know, even the servant girl tries to quiz him, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And he says, "No, I am not." He's there, but he doesn't want to admit he's there. He has been part of this story until now, because Peter too is afraid. If I say I'm part of Jesus' story, will I be going with him to my death too?
And we all have a need to feel safe.
We do. And we have all denied being part of something to save ourselves. There's none of us innocent in this. We can distance ourselves in order to be in a safe place rather than to admit and take responsibility.
Honig meir bale Proch Jesu egon orda Och on is och no.
We'll walk along.
At 4, Jesus meets his mother. And I think, what mother wouldn't have followed her son in this moment? Maybe we don't see her at station 1 or 2 or 3, but I do believe she was there, that she was waiting to know what's happening. And here at this station, in this particular image, we have soldiers around him, and yet he's being cradled by his mother.
Heartbreaking.
Absolutely. And she is silent all the way through. Mary is this woman who, all the way through the gospel stories, she says very little, but she listens a lot and she ponders in her heart.
We can really relate to her.
We can. She's here through these stations. Here she is, cradling her son as any mother would. It's almost her farewell to him because she doesn't know what's going to happen. When I look at this, I'm reminded of that moment when she takes the infant Jesus into the temple for the purification, and they meet Simeon and Anna. And Simeon tells her that your own heart and soul will be pierced. And this is the moment when that piercing happens.
So sad.
Station 5, we've seen Jesus fall once, and the soldiers have plucked an innocent man from the crowd, Simon of Cyrene. He's come up to Jerusalem with his two young sons to be part of the festival of Passover, not expecting to be part of this at all. And he's watching from the crowd, and the soldiers just take him and bring him forward and tell him to help Jesus carry his cross. He's probably standing there looking around going, why me? Why am I the one chosen to do this? What about all these other people? Why me? And yet something in him propels him to do as he's been asked, to go to the help of Jesus. He may know about him, but he doesn't know him, or we're not told that he knows him personally. You know, the other disciples are probably around that would have known Jesus, and they're not brought into the story. But here is Simon, and he leaves his two young sons and carries the cross with Jesus.
How do you relate to that, Karen?
We can find ourselves at times asked to walk a journey of carrying a cross with someone else. We may not choose to be there. It may not be where we want to be. And we may not feel adequate enough to help them carry their cross. But the Lord puts us there for a purpose. And sometimes that purpose is to teach us and challenge us as much as the cross is challenging the other person to.
So we need to be ready.
We do. Always be ready to walk with somebody who needs you to help them carry their crosses in life, whatever those crosses are.
Anenagnanin to the waka wari. Oh, nisohno.
And here at station 6, there's another tender moment where Jesus is with one of the soldiers and a woman named Veronica goes up to him, and she takes her shawl and she wipes the blood and the sweat from his face. And it's a very tender, intimate moment. And it's not something we read in scriptures. It's a tradition that grew up around the stations of the cross. This woman that they've named Veronica steps forward to be at this intimate moment to say that she cares.
It's nice to see the women appearing in part of the story.
And they do. I believe you could put Mary and the women into any of the stations because they're there, but they're silent. There's another lady here standing behind her. We don't know who it is, but she's there. So Veronica isn't alone. It took great courage to step out from the crowd who are jeering and shouting for Jesus to be crucified. And Veronica steps forward and shows that intimate care and love for this person.
Do you know any Veronicas?
I'd say we've all met Veronicas in our lives. Can probably name them. They may not be called Veronica, but they're there. People who have stepped forward for us and come and consoled us and loved us and shared intimate moments with us when we just needed someone to say to us, I care about you.
Beautiful. Nation of Marquine, Doom per Maitre Roye. Karen, you're looking at the seventh station.
Yes, and we see Jesus fall. This is the second time he falls. Even with the help of Simon of Cyrene, the cross is still very heavy, and it's a long road up to Calvary. In this particular station here, in this image, you see the soldiers raging that he's fallen again. Even the horse in the station is rearing up. You can see the anger all around Jesus who's on the floor because they just want to get this over with. And falling over wasn't part of their plan. And yet the cross is so heavy and he's hurting so much. He falls under the weight of it.
What does that bring into your mind about your own life or any of our lives?
Even when we have help and he's Simon there helping him to carry this heavy cross, we can still have moments where we fall. And yet we have to understand and trust that God is still with us, even when we fall. Even with the physical help around us, we can still fall.
This whole crucifixion and journey, such a public shaming, everybody watching.
Absolutely. You know, there was no privacy in it. He was just there. All his anguish, all the blood, the sweat, his own tears. It's just exposed for everyone to see.
No nation on my keen arrow going some stobla.
And at station 8, he meets the women from Jerusalem, and they have come in their tears, and he quizzes them. He tells them, cry for yourselves, for your children, for your people, because out of those tears will come their conversion to wholeness and to life with Christ.
Why did you stop at this station, Karen?
Here we can see ourselves in the women. That often we cry because things aren't the way we want them. And yet if we look deeper, that there's another meaning going on below the surface, that God is challenging us, God is teaching us, and there's a lot for us to learn in these women who are being called to examine themselves and look at their own life and how they are in relationship to God and to Jesus and to everything that is faith.
I suppose it's easy to be emotional, not as easy to be critical and make change.
Absolutely. We can all look at something and say, oh, that's not the way I do it, and be critical of it, and yet be the one who wouldn't change anything anyway. The words, they should, rather than, where's my part in this? And Jesus challenges the women to look at themselves and their part in it.
We're in front of Station 10. These are beautifully painted, intimate stations in the church here in St. John's. What are we looking at here?
We're looking at the soldiers stripping Jesus of his garments. This is total exposure. He's very little left on him. And they take the garment away, which we know that they will cast lots for eventually. They decide not to rip it and share it, but to cast lots, but even to just see Jesus standing there in that image with just one small piece of cloth wrapped around his middle. I don't know if I'd want to be left like that in front of a crowd. But if you stand in the church with a congregation praying the stations, we are all that crowd who are looking on.
No nation on my king, now in up the Moira.
Oh, the king, who are not
Station 11, and then we look at 12, because at 11 Jesus is placed onto the cross on the ground. So the cross is lying on the ground, and Jesus' hands and feet are tied and nailed onto the cross. And we just see him lying there. And then if we just look to the side there to station 12, and we see the crucifix, you know, it's the original crucifix from the church. There we see this lonely figure with a small piece of cloth wrapped around his middle, the blood, the nails, the sign across the top saying King of the Jews. You know, and they write it in all different languages to be sure everyone understands who he has said he is. It's the moment of death. The gospel of the fifth Sunday of Lent, he talks about being raised up in glory. And his first raising up is being raised on the cross. So the cross is lifted up and he's there for all to see, in between the two thieves who have every right to be crucified. That's the way it was in their day. And here in the middle of them is Jesus, who doesn't seem to have committed any crimes. He might have pushed the boundaries of the law to try and bring them into God's way, rather than this rigid look at this is what it says. Do not, do not, do not. Without any mercy being shown. And it was a very judgmental law. And often we can be very judgmental. God is all about mercy, finding ways to draw people in rather than to cast them out.
It's easy to judge.
Very, very easy. And the crowd are judging. It's the excitement. There's a fever pitch now. We're at the top of Calvary. Here we are. The cross has been raised. That's what we've been looking for. We've been shouting for Jesus to be crucified. And here he is, given to us. For Jesus, it's his moment of glorification. For the crowd, it's the end. This is what they wanted. Jesus gone. Some of the authorities wanted him out of sight, dead, gone, so he didn't disturb their authority anymore. Very beautiful, not just to have the painting at 12, but to actually have the crucifix at station 12.
Yeah, that is beautiful, the actual sculpture instead of the picture.
We meet Mary yet again. Because it's coming to Sabbath day, the body can't be left on the cross. So it must be taken down. So they take the body down from the cross, and the body is given to his mother. And she holds him for one last time. And what mother wouldn't want to be handed her child who's died to hold for one last time? Just at this moment, to pray for every mother who has to go through watching their child suffer and die, and they hold them for that last moment.
It always feels wrong that a parent would watch their children die.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking when anyone we love dies, but a parent doesn't expect to be holding their child at death. We can be comforted that Mary was there before us and held Jesus for one last time. In the Jewish tradition, they must bury the body before the Sabbath happens. So it's all going to happen very quickly that he's taken from her. And, you know, in his last words on the cross, he's handing his mother to his friend John to take care of. Jesus, in that moment, is handing us all over to be cared for by one another. That as church, we are the family of God, the body of Christ that cares for and loves one another. We're invited to reach out in mercy to those around us in our family of faith, which is bigger than our human family, but to remember that there are people who need us to hold them and care for them in moments of life and in moments of death.
Final station, Karen.
So Joseph of Arimathea comes along and he wants to take the body of Jesus because it must be buried, and he has a tomb. Again, we meet the women. Mary and her friends are there, and they go through the Jewish burial customs and the anointing with spices and oils of the body. And then Joseph takes the body and places the body in the tomb. And in human terms, that would be the end of the story. We know that in 3 days, Jesus will rise again. They don't. So they're in this moment of crucifixion and death. So Sunday, when we meet these people again, on Easter Sunday, the empty tomb is the resurrection. Nobody sees Jesus come out. They go to the tomb thinking that he's there, and they find the stone rolled away. And that's when their eyes are opened to resurrection. And then Mary Magdalene will meet Jesus in the garden. She mistakes him for the gardener, and he reveals himself to her, and she goes to tell the disciples that resurrection has happened.
So even though it is a journey with so much sadness, shame, thinking about our own lives and how we live them, it is full of hope in the finish.
It is for us. Even though Mary had been with Jesus from birth to death, we never hear her say about, but it's okay, he's going to rise again. It's all pondered in her heart, everything she has heard and been part of and seen and watched unfold before her. She's still with the eyes of faith, stays with her son to the very end.
Oh, all is so.
And yes, in the midst of it, there is this glimmer of hope. Hope as resurrection people, if we can look with resurrection eyes, not death eyes, not crucifixion eyes. We look with hope in the resurrection, and we are people of resurrection.
Sister Karen Kent, thank you for walking through the stations with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mary.